still taking a look at the basics. The fiction that surrounds the basics of Christianity is countless, and it's part and parcel of our culture and maybe the language. But you know, you hear all the preachers talking about how God loves us, loves the human race. Thing that just drove me nuts one time was, it's been repeated several times, but I was co-hosting a talk show shortly after I was converted, and this guy came on the talk show and said, he was speaking to the one person supposedly in the audience or in the somebody, and he said, if you were the only person on earth, God so loved you that he gave his son for you. And it just made me sick internally, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the love of God is centered only in Jesus Christ. The best the human race can be is God's sperm cells. And to say God loved the human race would be like you saying that you love all the sperm cells that you've shed all over the who knows where since you were reached the age of maturity. Because the best that the human race can be is God's sperm cell. Except you fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone.
Yeah, everybody uses John 3:16, but that word for world means cosmos. It's called the word cosmos rather than...
Right. Yeah. So... But this is a fiction that is universal almost in Christian church. The other is the difference between the word love as a verb and love as a noun. If people say they love God and they love their blah blah, whoever, whatever.
I love my Sharia.
Yeah. But the love of God is agape, which is, and the love that's manifested of God in us is agape. And it's agape is the word that's was coined first by the writers of the Septuagint. Does everybody remember what the Septuagint is?
I don't.
The initial translation.
Yeah, in
some
quite a ways before Christ, one of the pharaohs, which was really after the whole area had been conquered by the Greeks, one of the pharaohs created the situation in which he wanted the world, the Bible, to be translated into the 70 known languages of the world at that time. And so he called for elders from Israel, from the different, that could speak the language of all the different languages, I mean at least one. And they called these guys together and they created the Torah, well, the Old Testament, if you will, and wrote it in the 70 languages that were known. And that's why it's called the Septuagint, for 70. And that's the first time the word agape was coined. But the word for love is a verb, agapeo, is a common word. It means anything that you give importance to, you love it. And so love as a verb is different than love as a noun. But the way people use that word, there's no difference. But anyway, that's another story. Let's look at Galatians 4.
So God doesn't love the human race.
more than you love the sperm cells that you've shed.
I hear that analogy. Is he indifferent?
Well, he doesn't even see it, except as it relates to the mystery.
Where are we going here?
Galatians 4. The only sperm cells that you love are the ones that were joined to an egg and became a person. All right, Galatians 4. Starting verse 21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. And that, remember, Hagar was one of the daughters of Pharaoh.
Yeah, she was the father of Ishmael, right?
Right. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai and is in Arabia.
I mean mother.
Huh?
I said father. Mother of Ishmael.
These are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. The new Jerusalem is our mother. That's why we call no man on earth father, for God is our father. And we call no woman on earth mother, for the new Jerusalem is our mother. And unless you, as the sperm cell of God, enter the egg of the new Jerusalem and lose your identity, you're just another sperm cell that's running around. Now, if this doesn't say that, I don't know what it says. The seed to whom the promise was made, he saith, not to seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. That's all the promises of Abraham go to that one seed. And that one seed is Jesus Christ. And that seed must enter the womb just as any other child does. To create a new creature. That's what we are if you're born again. You have become something totally different, an alien really to this world. That's why the idea of getting involved and having opinions about this world bring you back into bondage. I assume by your silence everybody agrees. John, do you agree with that?
Not necessarily. I don't know the specifics of. I mean, that's a general statement. I understand the context, but I can't say that I'm all in on that.
That's why it says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you.
If you love the world, you're using your carnal mind, and that's evil.
That's right. That's why God doesn't love the world after the fall. Well, let me say something else. Remember? Let's go to 1 John. Second chapter. Let's just read the one thing. Go to verse 15. Well, let's go to verse 14. I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. All right, that is not in the text. And it says, I write unto you fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. Because born again means from the first estate. From the very beginning of beginnings. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And again, it should have continually in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? I'm surprised. This is another one. Nobody understands it. It doesn't appear to be anyway, that the wicked one is you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world. Love not the world. For all that is in the world is not of the Father. That's a hard one. There's no question, but it's got to be recognized. Otherwise, repentance will never happen.
It's an easy one. Love not the world. We all agree. The world is the world is the carnal mind. The world is taking advantage. The world is oppression. The world is injustice. That's the world. You participate in that. You walk over the top of people so you can make an extra buck. That's evil. That's not hard. That's easy.
That part of it is easy, what you just said.
Well,
what about all the stuff you think is good?
I didn't say it was good. I say
no,
that...
No, I'm talking about what about all the other things that you think are good.
I'm not talking about other things. I don't understand your question.
All right.
How do you know what I'm thinking?
Well, the only thing that I know is that you said you didn't know if you agreed with this.
I don't agree with it because I think we have a responsibility to our fellow human beings, to our brothers. We love one another. We have a dictum to stand against oppression. We have a dictum to stand against poverty, and we have a dictum to stand against the institutions which promote those things. I don't know that those are opinions. Maybe they are. It's your definition or mine. I kind of think they are opinions based upon what I think an opinion is. But they need to be you need to stand against those things. I'm not talking about the things of the world. I'm not talking about rising through the corporate structure. Fuck that.
No, you're not. I'm talking about, remember? The biggie of all biggies to define a disciple. As you are they that have continued with me in my temptation.
Well, let me stop you there for one second about this disciple stuff, because again, I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from. I cannot have a checklist that I go down, and at the end of those things, when all my boxes are checked, suddenly I'm a disciple. It doesn't work that way.
How does it work for you?
It works the opposite way. I'm a disciple as a result, not by my works, but by grace, that scripture that we read all the time. It's not for me to say I'm a disciple. I'm not sure it's for anybody to say I'm a disciple, except ultimately, standing back looking at it, what happened was, don't talk about me, talk about someone else. What they did revealed discipleship. It's like passing out cheese sandwiches to the poor people.
No, that's not what reveals discipleship. What reveals discipleship is that you continue with the testing that he was tested by. He wasn't tested by anything that you've just said. He was tested by losing the point of view of being there for the Father, the will of God, rather than the will of man.
What? What? Say that again, please. I'm sorry, I lost you.
Okay, let's go back to the scripture. Let's go there.
Please repeat what you just said. I lost it. It was too much.
Okay, you are they that continue with me in my temptation. That's a quote from Jesus in Luke.
So,
his temptation.
So our only test is what was his test. We have no other responsibility except to endure the same test that Christ endured when he was man and on the earth.
I'm just telling you what that said.
I'm asking you, is that what that means?
What I'm hearing is I think Ollie has a distinction between discipleship, serving God versus even lovingly serving man. You can't serve man, you serve God. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what that's what it says all over the scriptures. If any man loves, you don't want to go to the scripture,
but serving man is loving man.
We're going down two different roads here.
We
were talking about loving the world and opinions, if you will, and now we're talking about discipleship.
It's all the same.
Okay.
Galatians chapter 1. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Okay. Yes. Agreed. But let me make sure I understand what you mean. You said, my temptation should be Christ's temptation. Help me here. Is that not what you said?
I'm saying what the scriptures say.
You are they
that continue with me in my temptation.
Correct. So we endure the same temptations as Christ.
Well, you don't endure the same temptations as long as you're trying to please the world.
I'm not trying to please the world. I'm trying to figure out...
You're trying to correct injustice.
Well, yeah, I might be. Or oppression, or poverty.
I'm not
trying to correct it. I'm standing against it.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, I don't know what you're saying, but I don't know what it means either. You know what it means. You know what I'm trying to say. If that's an opinion, so be it. And if there's an institution or even an individual whose walk whose walk promotes those injustices and that poverty, those people need to be exhorted. Is an exhortation an opinion? Might be.
Well, I can't. People will be benefited by living the gospel, but it can never be the purpose to benefit the people.
I don't think that you do it to benefit the people. I think you do it out of love for your brethren and let the chips fall where they may.
And who is the brethren?
The people who are poor people, people who are hungry, people who are suffering from injustice, oppressions, and other things. I don't want to keep
again, I want us, you know, it's easy to see the obvious ones. The idea that
anytime
Jesus,
you help somebody,
Jesus,
you're making them better.
Jesus, we make fun of people all the time because Jesus never preached a regime change in the particular government or the Roman government. He never preached against anything the government was doing.
Those things all got lopped up by the Roman guy who put the scripture together in the first place.
The what?
Just a comment. Never mind.
What Roman guy put together the scriptures?
Well, the Roman emperor who threw scripture out because it didn't address...
There was no Roman empire that threw scriptures out.
There was.
Who?
I don't know the guy's name. If I heard it, I would recognize it. I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Well, you're thinking of Constantine.
He's
the only one that had anything to do with it.
And it was all for himself.
But he was never... There was no scriptures that he...
This is not funny.
There was no scripture that any emperor ever threw out or ever had the authority to throw out.
Is that a fact?
Yes.
So there are people that say otherwise. They're wrong.
I don't know how they're saying it in the context, but the Roman Empire, the emperor the only one that could have possibly be talking about
Christian. Because he wanted the Christian vote.
Well, that's not true. No, he had a conversion experience, but then he did the same thing. He then did the same thing the Romans. I mean, the Muslims did.
And as soon as he was converted, he murdered his wife and he murdered his son because they.
But he did not have anything to do with what scriptures are in the Bible.
He did.
No, he didn't.
I've never heard that.
I will see what I can find to validate that. And the sources that I'm thinking might be totally erroneous. I don't know. But don't say
Well, I've
to me.
Heard. Yeah, I've read the same things by someone that's trying to discredit the scriptures.
I don't think it's a question of them starting out to discredit. I think they're historians more than they are religious people trying to come up with a doctrine.
I've heard every possible excuse over the years, and in reading and in hearings, I used to go on and speak all of the time.
I know you did. I know.
And what I heard is that you tend to, let's assume that the Gospel of James, or the Gospel of Thomas. These are extant writings that were extant. Well, let's just take the one of Thomas. That's the one that's mostly used in this way.
You're talking about apocryphal.
You're right. I've heard innumerable times from people who started out with a particular form of opinion that they say what you just said, that the Gospel of Thomas is the one they usually say it about.
Oh, I don't know enough to know Thomas or any other one. But
well, that's the one that mostly justifies, in my opinion, the taking a stand on the things that you said.
Thomas's gospel says you should take stand?
At least that's the justification for it.
Okay.
Now, and there's others. I won't go through all of them, but there's some, like, I think the last count was like 36 apocryphal books. And I've read them all. I've read them all that I have, that are extant. I have them. And you, if someone is a let's assume that they have a particular opinion about life, then they try. If it's found in one of those, then they claim that they're excluded because. So, I don't think that.
Well, along those same lines, not to interrupt you, hold on a minute. Along those same lines, as I understand it, the scripture before Constantine was adjusted to fit his needs, just like those scriptures are endorsed to fit their needs or their thought or whatever. It's
wait a minute, wait a minute. Before Constantine?
Sure. Yes. He threw out I'll have to find out more about this. When he threw out or he negated scripture that had been scripture before, he had it removed permanently, burned, done away with to fit his agenda.
I don't think so.
He was an evil guy.
Tell me about it.
Well, you tell me he was a Christian. He had a conversion.
I'm telling you, he claimed to have a conversion. I didn't tell you he converted.
You just said, "Oh, I don't care. It doesn't matter." But I'm telling you, it's historically a fact, as I understand it, that the Gospel of Luke wasn't written by Luke.
No, that's not true.
That's not true either?
No.
But it's not true.
The Gospel of Luke was written by Luke. So was the Book of Acts.
I think there are historians who will dispute that.
There may be, but there are historians that can dispute anything.
And there are people that can promote anything.
Of course.
We don't know where the truth really lies.
But let's just forget everything that's in the New Testament. And just have what we call the Old Testament.
Why do we do that?
So we can get rid of any of these political things that you're talking about.
Well, then you're going to get into another thing. Frankly, I believe you're going to get into myth, mythology. You're going to get into
right. You're going to get now into the. All of the letters of Adam and all of these. There are bunches of them.
Yeah.
The testimony of Adam and Eve. And they are existent.
They are existent.
They exist. These testimonies, these different writings from the Old Testament. That have been excluded.
So these people say Adam wrote things down?
Yes. Some people, I'm just talking.
I know.
Okay, now let me, here's my position. Let me just share with you what I've learned, okay? Uh-huh. That bothered me, it bothered me that all these books weren't in the Bible. Uh-huh. Why aren't they? Uh-huh. Until I read them.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
They're just bullshit.
They are because they're bullshit. Why?
Because it's... Because they violate the mystery of God that was revealed to me and is confirmed in these scriptures.
They violate the mystery of God that was revealed to you.
At the conversion.
They were revealed to you.
You may not believe this, but I've told you many times, I haven't learned a thing since the day I was converted.
I believe that.
Okay, then what that conversion experience was the touchstone. it was so mind-bending that I can't even put words in it. Then I spent all those years trying to prove it was wrong. This was wrong. Because when I woke up, if you will, nothing about that conversion experience did I like. But it was so strong, I had to do something. So I spent all those years. Now, I didn't only read this book. I read every possible book that I could find that had anything to do with what's in the scripture. Now, as I told you, from translating every word, this book conformed to the conversion experience. Now, all those other books violated what I saw. Mm. Now, we can find people that will say anything. But for me, the conversion experience was the touchstone that I was going to throw the whole conversion experience out if I found contradictory positions in different parts of the Bible. It looks like it was a total error. Like, for instance, if the Bible would have really said that the age of the earth was 6,000 years, I would have dumped it and dumped Christianity and dumped everything and gone back to my way of life, because that's absolutely stupid. And every other thing. And Bloom was with me for much of that. If you know Bloom, he's pretty good at asking questions and trying to pin somebody down. Well, anyway, it was important. He was important to me then, because to me he was one of the smartest guys I'd ever met and the most penetrating questions. And he tried for 4 years, he tried to push me away from what this thing, what I believed and what this thing said, in my opinion. And then,
in what?
In my opinion.
In your opinion. Okay, go ahead.
I don't care whether you believe this or not.
I'm not saying
I care if you are a disciple, that you not be seduced by having things that are important in time and space. And I think, very frankly, I think that's one of the things that may be hindering your total understanding right now. Is because you're still holding on to the, frankly, political positions that are in, that you had before your conversion experience.
Well, I appreciate you saying that and bringing it to my attention, but I think you're wrong.
Well, I know you do. Now, I would have, my...
No more than my exhortation yesterday, which you considered and dismissed.
Which exhortation? About not having Bible study?
Yeah. Sometimes when you're this rigid... When we're this fanatical, then we create anxiety in people and angst. Like, if I don't go to Bible study, I'm going to hell, and if I do, I'm saved.
So John, do you have any idea that this has much more to do with other people other than us sitting, a few here?
Because of that?
No, because whether it's anybody periodically drops in.
Yeah, they do.
And that's the reason that there's a time set.
Yeah, and when circumstances are such that it's not appropriate, it's okay to say, we're not meeting tomorrow, we'll see you again on Thursday.
That's fine.
Well,
just for this group.
It's not fine, because we're going to meet,
we're going to quit right now.
I'm not arguing with you. Please don't misunderstand.
But
me.
You are taking a stand with regard to positions and things in this world.
No, I'm not. Don't say that. That's bullshit. And that pisses me off.
You just said...
No, I did not.
...to speak against oppression,
no.
To speak against poverty, and to speak against...
I believe it's my Christian obligation. It's my Christian... It's my walk as a disciple to represent other people besides myself, and to care about those people and to assist them, to help them. And I believe Christ would have done the same thing.
He never took the position.
You don't know that, because there's huge parts of his life that we don't know anything about. And I'm not saying that it's there or it's not there, but I'm saying you don't know.
I know that it's not there for a reason.
Well, then you know more than I do. I'm not willing to say that. Because I don't have confidence in how the whole thing was put together in the first place. I value it tremendously.
But
there
you value, and you value your opinion equally.
It's not an opinion.
What is it then?
It's no more my opinion than the opinion you're expressing right now.
Except my opinion was tested by 14 years of study.
I don't care. I don't care. Because your 14 years might have been down the wrong path.
If that's the case, then why are you here?
I'm not sure. Well, wait a minute. That's not true. I'm sorry I said that. That's not true. I'm here to learn. I'm here to find. I'm here to listen.
And to have your opinions challenged.
No, I don't care about my opinions being challenged, because I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change that for you.
No, I don't want you to change
it. I'm not going to.
But if you see that your opinion is hindering your walk as a disciple, then something is wrong.
I don't see it hindering it. I see it enhancing it.
I know. And I'd ask you to find the scriptures to prove that.
Oh, please. I'm not going to do that. I'm not. I know. I know.
How do you know? How do you know that you're supposed to stand against poverty or stand against depression?
Because it's in me. It's in me.
It was in you before you were converted.
But maybe I didn't demonstrate it. Maybe I didn't care enough. Maybe I was too caught up in the world to give it a second thought.
Don't you see it might be an add-on to the gospel?
What might be an add-on?
What you're the idea that you were supposed to stand against oppression, stand against poverty, and stand against something else.
Let's talk about stand against.
Well, that's what you said. I'm using your words.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what stand against means. It just means a consciousness. It just means an awareness. It means when I have the ability and when it's appropriate, I might demonstrate it. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that I stand on the street corner and say, "The hell with this, listen to me."
Then I'm saying to you that in my opinion, that hinders your walk as a disciple.
I don't believe that. I think it enhances my walk as a disciple.
Well, I know you do. But that's why, it's extremely important that you find out whether this book confirms what your stand is. Or whatever you call it.
So I cannot have a life that's not validated by this book. I cannot do anything that's not validated somewhere in those pages in some manner, shape, or form.
Well, I don't know, but that's a little. You can't have a stand or a position, an opinion about life that isn't validated in that book.
Well, but a lot of these positions and validations might be subject to some interpretation, and that they might be included in there. There's room for that thought. There's room for that in there.
Well, I would.
There's room when it says, in Genesis, when God created the earth. Let me figure this. Let me see this here for one second. Right in the very first part. And it was good. Someplace it says it was good.
Before the fall. Don't you understand? The fall changed everything.
So the creation is not, it was...
What man was created for was violated by the fall.
When God created the earth and the heaven...
He said it was good.
He said it was good.
And it was good for one purpose. The purpose that he created it, not for some other purpose.
So after the fall, it wasn't good anymore?
After the fall, it was polluted. And then his grace tried to keep it. Man was polluted. That's why there's no part of man that's in the disciple position except as a total vessel, total emptying of opinions.
I understand that.
Well, that's why it's so critical that you have a backup of something in here that justifies what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying that I believe that there might be.
I don't care about might-bes.
It's subject to interpretation.
What is?
All the things that you're talking about. I'm telling you.
Your death is subject to interpretation.
It says that is good.
Of course.
The word it was good.
Of course it did, because it was before the fall. Can't you get that in your head?
No, I can't.
The fall altered.
So you're telling me that the fall had an effect on the creation?
Yes.
Oh, no question. It had an effect on the universe.
Okay.
No, I gotta go. Take it, big guy.